ESPN Radio, 1392.5. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us here on this blessed Sunday morning, where, of course, it's all about cashing those tickets, baby. Thank you for joining us. 859-381-1313. If you've got anything on your mind, you want to talk to us about it this morning, feel free to call 381-1313. On today's show, it's another NFL Sunday. You'll be listening live to the Bengals at 1 o'clock on our sister station, 92.1 Classic Rock. Of course, yesterday was another college football Saturday. Kentucky basketball gets another win, I guess. Major League Baseball season ends, although it just began. There's a big traffic jam heading south today. And, of course, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks previewing today's NFL slate, as well as our bottom line horse racing expert, Payron Harris of Richmond, chiming in to give us his picks for the Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland next weekend. That's all coming up later on in the show. But first, David versus Goliath. Last week we referenced the second biggest upset in the history of sports, and that was the 1980 USA Olympic hockey team. But yesterday we saw an example of the first and greatest upset of all time, David using five smooth stones at a slingshot, defeating Goliath when you thought Goliath had no chance to lose to David. It's very important in life to be self-aware. It's very important in sports, too. It's to all of our advantages if you can look in the mirror, know who you are, know who you're not, play to your strengths, and act accordingly. In 2015, Kentucky basketball was 38-0. And they're playing in the Final Four against Wisconsin. Kentucky was better than Wisconsin. Nobody can argue that. Look at the NBA careers of the players on the floor that night. The facts are undeniable. Kentucky had a lead after 35 minutes of that game, playing like Goliath. In the last 5 minutes, they played like David, trying to milk the shot clock, had three shot clock violations. A certain set of brothers may have been going into business for themselves, and they lost the game. And the basketball cats haven't sniffed the Final Four since. But you say David beat Goliath. Yes, he did. But he didn't play like Goliath. He knew who he was. He was self-aware, and he played like David. That's why he won. Yesterday, at Kroger Field, Georgia went out and played like Goliath because compared to Kentucky, they are. And when you open the game with a 12-play drive and all 12 plays are just running the ball right up the middle, right down your throats, that's playing like Goliath. When you're the better team, you don't go out and fool around. Just go win the game and go home. Goliath should have done that a long time ago. Georgia did that yesterday as they defeated Kentucky 14-3 in a game that never really seemed that close. But was there any good news to this game for the Big Blue Nation? Yes. The game lasted only 3 hours, a little less than 3 hours, actually. That's pretty sad when that's the best news. But there was some good news to this game. We'll get to that in just a minute. But what's worse, losing a game 14-3 or 35-24? Well, neither. It's still an 11-point difference. It just seems worse when it's 14-3. And that was a tough game to watch offensively for Kentucky. Only 229 yards compared to 346 for Georgia. And they were dominated in total yards, despite having exactly 10 minutes more in time of possession. It was a fourth straight game Kentucky had under 300 total yards. That's not good. Last time that happened to Kentucky, 2012, the infamous year that Kentucky lost at home to Vandy, 40-0. So what's really wrong with this team right now? They're 2-4. There's no buzz. Nobody has any hope around here. Well, the numbers are a little skewed this season, because there's no cupcakes. There's no Austin Peay-type cupcakes to run into town three times a year and to make that 6-6 and 7-5 record look more impressive than it really is. The problem is the offense. And who is that on? Is it on the quarterback situation that we've harped on this show constantly this summer and fall? Or is it the offensive coordinator, Eddie Grant? I don't have a big problem with them only putting up 3 points against the best defense in America in Georgia yesterday with a quarterback making his first career start. But this offense was lousy against Missouri and Mississippi State, too. Of course, they beat Mississippi State. They also got six interceptions that game. The defense this season has been the deodorant that covers the stink of the offense the last few games for Kentucky. What's different now, though? The superstars who were here and single-handedly rescued this team the last couple of years, Josh Allen, Benny Snell, Lynn Bowden, they're gone. And the shame of this is they quite possibly have the best offensive line they've ever had. Three of those five guys are going to be playing in the NFL very soon. And to seemingly waste all that offensive line talent in a conference like the SEC, where you need offensive line talent to compete, to waste those guys on these skill position players and this offensive scheme, it's almost criminal. So is it players or is it system? Eddie Grant looked like a genius last year, using a wide receiver who couldn't throw at quarterback, mostly running every down the second half of the season. Now that he's got a quarterback, that quarterback's either too scared to throw it deep or is told not to throw it deep. The quarterbacks on this team, they can't win games single-handedly yet. But they need help, whether it's by the scheme of Eddie Grant or by their wide receivers. 2 years ago, Terry Wilson and Benny Snell, they could actually move the ball somehow with that little spread option. Is Chris Rodriguez that much of a drop for Benny Snell? Probably not. But they threw it deep sometimes back then. Now they don't throw it deep at all. Can the wide receivers not get open? Are they told not to throw it deep? Is the quarterback too scared? Before we get into the quarterbacks, let's look at the rest of these skill position players, because they're not off the hook either. Chris Rodriguez, finally given starter carries yesterday, ironically enough, against the best defense in America. He produces over 100 yards against a Georgia defense that hadn't been humiliated like that, well, since Alabama. I was impressed by a 4th-and-2 play when Kentucky ran the ball straight up the middle on 4th-and-2, when half the people in the stadium knew that's exactly what was coming because Kentucky had proven they weren't going to throw the ball anyway. That's a program that couldn't have done that against Georgia 5 years ago. They did it yesterday. But when we go to our pro football focus ratings, and they grade out every player on every team in America, before Saturday's game, Chris Rodriguez was not only graded as the second best running back in the SEC, he was the 9th best in all of college football. Compare that to A.J. Rose, who had been getting more carries than Rodriguez. He was 17th and last in the SEC among full-time running backs. And out of 117 running backs in all of college football, he ranked 97th. Yet the offensive snaps before yesterday's games were almost dead even, 136 to 130 in terms of Rodriguez. Rodriguez is the breakout star of this team this year, and the coaching staff is finally realizing and finally getting him the bulk of the carries. But what position is getting the most criticism today? Shockingly, it's not the quarterbacks. It's the wide receivers. Let's go back to those pro football focus ratings before yesterday's games. Josh Ali, 14th in the SEC, 65th in all of college football. Okay. Allen Daly, 30th in the SEC, 222nd in all of college football. Not so good. DeMarcus Harris, 48th and last in the SEC. And out of 287 wide receivers in all of college football, he rates, you guessed it, 287th. Dead last. Is it talent? This group of wide receivers as a whole, they're not SEC caliber. The numbers tell us that, not the eye test. And with the current state of the offense, how do you recruit a top high school wide receiver to come to play for this offense? Nick Saban said a couple of weeks ago that SEC football is all about offense and scoring points now. If he's right, and who would disagree with the almighty Nick Saban, that Kentucky is in trouble with this offensive scheme and personnel. But of course, we go back to the quarterbacks on the show. We always do. Joey Gatewood got his first start yesterday after Terry Wilson was mysteriously out with an injury. Of course, after last week, there were rumors that he quit the team, but he didn't. Maybe he did and was talked back into coming back. Who knows? Was he even on the sidelines yesterday? I didn't see him. Maybe I missed him. Anyway, Joey Gatewood starts and didn't look any better than Wilson, 15 of 25, but only 91 yards. 16 of 23 rushing, but that counts the sacks. But let's be honest. Getting your first career start against the best defense in America when you've only been eligible for 4 weeks isn't exactly perfect timing for the coaching staff to put him in the best possible circumstance for success. And actually, Gatewood's quarterback rating yesterday, 43.2 out of 100, was better than his opponent, Stetson Bennett of Georgia. And speaking of Georgia quarterbacks, there's not one Georgia fan out there that doesn't just bite their bottom lip every game when they see a walk-on sidearm quarterback, 5'11", Stetson Bennett, and not Justin Fields, a Georgia kid who got run out of town, who's probably going to win the Heisman Trophy at Ohio State this year, but I digress. Gatewood's quarterback rating not only better than Wilson's quarterback in only 2 of 5 games this year, but what we officially learned yesterday is that Kentucky's offensive struggles are not mainly on the quarterback's shoulders. Not only did Gatewood not throw the ball downfield more than 10 yards the whole day, he didn't have much time to do it either. But we've killed Terry Wilson since the summertime on this show when the local media was telling us how he was going to be so much better this year because he had a new haircut and a new attitude. We don't step back from that. The numbers back up everything we said. But this offense isn't entirely the fault of Terry Wilson or Joey Gatewood. It's obvious that it comes from a higher power than the players on the field. But this game actually went as expected. Let's just face facts, ladies and gentlemen. Georgia's the better team. They've had the better recruiting classes. They have a better history of winning. Their coach is better and more successful. They're just better. And the game yesterday, despite the score, was never truly in doubt. The final huge obstacle for Kentucky as a program is defeating the University of Georgia. They finally broke the streaks of Florida and Tennessee, but this program has two major goals left: defeating Georgia and winning the SEC East. And yesterday was proof that those goals are a long way off in the future. But was there any good news for this team yesterday? Oh, yeah. The defense played very well. Granted, they were playing a very mediocre quarterback, but after that opening drive of 12 plays and 12 runs right down their throats, they only allowed 7 points. Before the game, if you had told anybody from Kentucky you'd only allow 14 points to Georgia, even with a new quarterback in Joey Gatewood, you'd think the Cats had a good shot at winning that game. Heck, Georgia put up 24 in the first half against Alabama, and they're only going to put up 14 against you? You got a shot. No, not really. You don't have a real shot. Because if you watched that game yesterday, you never really thought Kentucky had a shot to win that game. But what was the main good news for Big Blue Nation yesterday? From our perspectives and the listeners of this show, they covered the spread. By game time, the spread was 17 points out in the desert. And if you're paying attention to the signals like we do, a huge majority of the money was on Georgia to cover that number. And why not? Best defense in America facing a quarterback making his first career start. Conventional wisdom, using that in quotes, says of course you want to take Georgia. But as listeners of this show know, you always want to fade the public, especially when you see 75% or more of the public money on one side. When you see that, you want to look at the other side. But when Kentucky got the ball back in that final minute, anybody who had a little bit of cake on Kentucky yesterday was hoping that they didn't do anything with the ball because they were already covering and a pick six would be a viciously bad beat. For some odd reason, Kentucky took their sweet time and had absolutely no sense of urgency on that final drive, literally letting the last 19 seconds run out while they were lined up, ready to snap the ball to end the game. Who does that? A team that's given up? Or a team that's just trying to cover the point spread? If you didn't see it, go to YouTube. Watch the last 19 seconds. You'll understand what we're seeing. Did that team look like it wanted to play the end of that game, or they just wanted to go home? You know, one of the magic words in sports is saying a team quit. I'm not going to say this team quit yesterday, but at the very end, they weren't really trying really hard either. You make the call. But here's a stat you won't get anywhere else in this market, and it's a positive stat about Kentucky. Mark Stoops versus ranked teams now, 6-17 straight up. Not very good, is it? No, it's not. But when you bet on them in the desert against ranked teams, Mark Stoops flips that number around to 15-8 after that cover yesterday. So Mark Stoops against ranked teams, 6-17 straight up in the real world, in our world, 15-8 against the spread. 65.2%. So historically, Stoops has been undervalued in the desert when facing ranked teams. We give you information that the other shows don't talk about in this town. I can promise you that. So let's look forward now. They sit at 2-4. Vanderbilt next on the schedule. This season is a 10-game conference schedule. No non-Power 5 cupcakes to pad the record like in the past. A home game against Vanderbilt, just what the doctor ordered to heal the illnesses of this team. But after Vandy comes road games at Alabama and at Florida. Then the regular season will mercifully end with a home game against South Carolina. How many people will even want to go to that game by that point? I'm going to be honest, Big Blue Nation. You're staring 3-7 right in the face. And all those local media members who were yelling 7 and 8 wins for this team before the season started at the top of their lungs in August, while insulting us for saying, take the under 5.5 wins out in the desert because I was just some loudmouth being a troll, all those people have mysteriously disappeared. So who do we see at quarterback next time? Do we see Terry Wilson? Do we see Joey Gatewood? Bo Allen? Who was calling for him yesterday after those first few possessions? You'd think in a 2-4 season that there's a 99% chance Terry Wilson won't be at Lexington next year, that Gatewood and Allen are the choices the rest of the way. But Stoops wants to win games, and conventional wisdom says that Wilson is the choice if you want to win this year. But if you're playing for next season and the season's beyond, it's Gatewood and it's Allen. With 13 days to prepare and the weakest opponent on the schedule coming up next, a win in the next game is essential for this program. And the quarterback, whoever it'll be, will be a telltale sign of Kentucky's football attitude the rest of this season, a season that's 60% over and has no chance of living up to Big Blue Nation preseason expectations. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5, the bottom line with Brad Taylor here on ESPN Radio. Coming up after the break, we'll have more college football from yesterday, and Kentucky basketball gets a victory, we think. We'll have that coming up next. But first, Clark's Auto Service. That's where I get my car service. It's where you should, too. They're the best in the business. They've been open all throughout the pandemic. They offer services, and they have found things on my car, and they have kept my car running longer than it should have been running. ClarksAutoLexington.com. Bill Clark and his staff over there, they're the best, and they are in the business. ClarksAutoLexington.com. Kentucky basketball, more college football coming up after the break right here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. ESPN Radio 1392.5. Sean C. reliving his Athens, Georgia days, I see. Welcome into the bottom line. We appreciate listening on this blessed Sunday morning. 381-1313 if you've got anything to say or talk about in the world of sports. Hey, did you been out this morning? Did you see traffic down I-75 heading south? Was there a traffic jam? Did you see this? Was like Cannonball Run back in the day. Boy, that's an old school reference. If you remember Cannonball Run, yeah, you're as old as I am, sadly. But yeah, Google that one, kids. But anyway, it's opening day for sports gambling in Tennessee. If I was younger, I'd open a business right at the Jellicoe Mountain first exit there until sports gambling was legalized in Kentucky to placate us degenerate gamblers crossing the border just to bet sports legally. But yes. You can go down to Tennessee, go to the Jellicoe Mountain exit, where I've thrown a lot of trash over the years. And my mom will attest to that. I've had to do that for various reasons, neither of which need to be talked about on the radio. But, yes, go to Jellicoe Mountain. You can download an app, and you can bet legally on sports starting today, of all days, November the 1st. In case you haven't noticed also, judging by the attendance you have it, the Breeders' Cup is next weekend. Bottom line, horse racing expert Payron Harris of Richmond, who's been playing the ponies for as long as I can remember, is giving us his expert picks yet again for the classic. He's got an exacta, improbable and global campaign. Those are your exacta for the Breeders' Cup Classic next Saturday here at Keeneland. Improbable global campaign from our horse racing expert, Payron Harris of Richmond. Payron, I need some winners now. You're getting on thin ice. I need some winners now. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Horse racing picks from our expert, improbable global campaign. But let's get to the league where they play for pay, the NFL. Today on Classic Rock 92.1, Bengals and Titans. Bengals a 7-point favorite. Look at those quarterbacks. Ryan Tannehill has all suddenly become a Pro Bowl quarterback. He's the 8th best quarterback in the league, according to Pro Football Focus stats. Joe Burrow, not bad for a rookie, 18th overall. The Titans coming off their first loss, 5-1 overall, but 2-4 against the spread. The Bengals just the opposite. They're 5-1 overall, but 5-1-1 against the spread. So as bad as they've been great for the gamblers like us. It included coming off a cover last week when they were a 4-point dog and they only lost by 3. The games today, you're going to have to look at the Midwest. A lot of wins are affecting these games. Look at the under for a lot of these games, especially. These lines are plummeting on these totals. Road teams, 56% this season. Road teams with line moves in their direction, 65% this season. But Cincinnati has all that value as a contrarian home dog with an inflated line. If this number gets to 7, which it has already a lot of places, expect a lot of people to be on the Bengals today. If you find 7, let's hit the Bengals today. But our pizza money prop of the day, tight end Drew Sample, 23.5 yards. Let's go over that today. He's top 20 yards receiving 3 of the last 4 games. And last week, the Steelers tight end Eric Ebron, he got 6 receptions for 50 yards. So there's your pizza money prop of the day. Still looking for a sponsor, any pizza place in town. Drew Sample over 23.5 yards in the Bengals game that you could hear on 92.1 Classic Rock. But let's get to the real picks. Minnesota, Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers lighting up the league. He's the second best quarterback in the league on Pro Football Focus. Oh, Kirk Cousins is terrible, right? No, not really. He's 9th. This is a grudge match. The Vikings have struggled all year. They're 1-5 straight up. They're actually 3-3 against the spread, and they're coming off a bye after being crushed by Atlanta the last time out, losing as a favorite. The Packers, tied for the third best record in the league, just crushed the Texans easily, covering as a 3-point favorite. Forecast calling for big wins at Lambeau, so let's look at this game to go under quite a bit. But our trend for this game, Mike Zimmer, the coach of the Vikings, his career record against the spread the regular season, 63-38. That's 62.4%. That's a 21% return on investment. That's better than Bill Belichick. That's better than any other coach in the league. Mike Zimmer gets the spread. That's the coach you want to be with. Take the Vikings today, getting 7 at Lambeau Field. Mike Zimmer to the end. And Kirk Cousins, a little bit underrated. We'll see. We'll take the Vikings today. And, of course, we're going to gloat about last week's game, taking the Jets against Buffalo. Give us your tired, your poor, your weak. When I was in elementary school, my mother was a teacher, so I basically walked around like I owned the place because I knew what I could get away with. Sometimes before a teacher realized the troublemaker I was, one of my teachers would ignorantly ask me to watch the rest of the students while she was out of the room and report anyone who got into trouble, and my response every time was, "Ma'am, wherever there's trouble, I'll be there." Last week on this show as a Mac Daddy Stogie, we took the hopeless Jets, who were 0-6 straight up and against the spread, and we said we guaranteed when they covered a spread, we'd be there. Well, it didn't take long, and they covered last week, although they lost in the real world against the Bills. Sam Darnold, the best quarterback in the league. That was not a Freudian slip. Patrick Mahomes, of course, 7th best in the league. Another David and Goliath matchup, the Jets, 0-7 now, but 1-6 against the spread, facing the Chiefs, 5-2 against the spread this year, second best team in the league in the NFL right now. Sharps are eyeing the under in this one. It's already dropped 49-48. The weather is going to dictate further drop. Both teams this year heavy to the under. That's some way you want to look. This line started at 21, dropped to 19.5. As of right now, this morning, it's 20. Our trend in this one since 2003, double-digit dogs from November 1st on, late in the season, that have a winning percentage of less than 20%, like the Jets do today. Those teams hit 61.2% against the spread, 60-38. Give us your tired, your poor, your weak, your huddled masses. And again, that's still the Jets. We'll take the Jets getting so many points against the Chiefs today. Biggest game of the day, probably Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Pittsburgh getting 4. Ben Roethlisberger, you may think he's back, but his stats aren't great. He's 20th in the league in Pro Football Focus. Lamar Jackson, 10th. Not nearly the rate he was last year. Steelers, 6-0, though. 5-1 against the spread. The only undefeated team left in the league. Winning that one as an underdog. The Ravens, 5-1, though. They're 3-2-1 against the spread. But the Ravens are favored, kind of unlike our unranked trap in college football. Do you want to take the Ravens this time because they're easily the worst team record-wise, but yet they're favored at home? Pittsburgh has value as the road division underdog, as always. The road team with a line move in its favor and a short dog of six or less always hits about 60% of the time. We've seen some steam on the under. The weather's going to call for more of that. The trend, Mike Tomlin of the Steelers as a dog in the regular season, career. Mike Tomlin, 35-18 against the spread, 66%, including 1-0 this year, and that was last week. Yes, we'll take the Steelers today. That's our Keith Farmer, Jeff Drummond special. Steelers plus +4 against the Ravens down to Baltimore. And the final game we have today, the Ben DiNucci, James Madison fan club will be in full force tonight as bettors will be disappointed in the Sunday night football game. Dallas getting 11 against Philadelphia with a quarterback none of us in the real world have ever heard of. The Cowboys, the only team in the league now who have not covered a game against the spread. They're 0-7 against the spread, 2-5 straight up. They've been a disaster. That's the only way to describe them. Now they're on a quarterback that nobody's ever heard of. Dallas just got killed by Washington, of all teams, losing as a straight-up. They weren't even a dog in that game. It was a straight-up pick. The Eagles barely beat the Giants last Thursday night, so they have a little extra rest. Andy Dalton out. Ben DiNucci in for the Cowboys. What's our trend in this game? Why in the world will we even think about taking the Cowboys? November visitors, especially in the division, they have great value. From the month of November on, since 2003, any road team played their second consecutive road game, like Dallas is, and getting less than 70% of the public money, like Dallas is, that team covers 72.9% of the time. 94-35. That's a very good number. 79.2%. I don't care who the quarterback is. Let's take Dallas getting 11 tonight. Give us your tired, your poor, blah, 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 blah. Give us Dallas getting the points tonight. A game you can hear here on ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. So there's your Mac Daddy Stogie picks, ladies and gentlemen. Take Minnesota getting 7 at Green Bay. We got the Jets getting 20-plus against Kansas City. We've got the Steelers getting 4 in what could be a defensive battle down at Baltimore. And, of course, give us the Cowboys, the Ben DiNucci fan club, starting right here, getting 11 against the Eagles. Those are your Mac Daddy Stogie picks. You can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. Coming up after the break, we'll wrap things up and hit a few other quick hitters on the way out the door. But first, our good friend Trey McCauley at bestlexingtonhomes.com. You've heard his commercials all over this station and a few other stations around here. Right now is a great time to invest in real estate, and there's nobody better in this business than Trey McCauley. You can find all his information, bestlexingtonhomes.com. We'll wrap things up and get out of here for the Angelo Show coming up at 10 o'clock, right, coming up next right here on ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you for joining us on this NFL Sunday. We appreciate it as always. Coming up here after the Bottom Line, it'll be the Angelo Show. I told Angelo last week how much I appreciated what he did talking about the Twitter accounts from last week. We had a little conversation via text about that. Because it's interesting when it comes from a different perspective than we do on this show. It just shows there's a lot of different room for all kinds of styles of sports talk in this market. On this show, we focus on data and ignoring the cliches and trying to pick winners and stuff like that. But, you know, for like on his show last week, Angelo was telling us how Terry Wilson, his mom was very upset on Twitter. We don't follow these people on Twitter. The people we follow on Twitter, people who can give us information to pick winners. The beat writers, the people who are in the know in Las Vegas, those are the people that I try to get information from. Players, coaches, people like that. Yeah, I don't follow those people because it's just wasting my time because they can't help me improve the bottom line, which is picking winners. That's neither here nor there. Just like, you know, when people tell us that Terry Wilson was going to be a better quarterback this year because he had a new haircut, new attitude, and, you know, which was laughable if you look at his career numbers. Most people don't look at things the same way that we do, and that's okay. But we're just trying to discern the information to pick winners. Nothing wrong with that. Make sure to stay tuned for the Angelo Show. He's got great stuff. He'll be coming up right after the Bottom Line here on ESPN Radio. Coming up later today on ESPN Radio, a cavalcade of stars. Count of three NFL football games. At 12:30, New England and Buffalo. At 4 o'clock, Jacksonville and the Chargers. And at 8 o'clock, one of our Mac Daddy Stogies. Take those Cowboys getting all the points you can against the Eagles. That's Sunday night football. You can hear all those games here on ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. And don't forget, Titans-Bengals, 1 o'clock on 92.1 Classic Rock. Thank you so much for listening today to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate the feedback that we've gotten. A lot of it positive, sounding a little different than everybody else around here. We enjoy that. We take a lot of pride in that. We're very grateful to everyone out there for listening. Once again, coming up next, The Angelo Show here on ESPN Radio. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.